Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jason Greer's here. He's our new friend. Jason is the owner and the president of Greer Consulting. He's one of the most sought-after labor consultants in the United States, and he's here to talk to us about some of the things that have been going on recently in the marketplace with regard to union and the organization's leaders, and what you and I can learn from that in our small businesses. Jason Greer, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Of course, the big thing, Jason, right now is the teacher strike in Chicago that got pretty ugly, pretty messy.
Absolutely.
And Mayor Emanuel tried, I think I said earlier, a week or so ago, I was talking to someone about this, and I said I think he thought he could channel Mayor Daley with his behavior. And I don't think he has the backside to do that. I don't think he has the critical mass to do that. I think he got smacked down a little bit. What do you think?
You know, I think that Rahm Emanuel realized probably a bit too late that it's very difficult to cultivate public opinion when, unfortunately, you've been in the White House for years.
Right.
And you come back to Chicago, and the nature of the beast had changed so dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So stepping back in, thinking that because of, you know, his experiences on the national scene, then somewhere or another he could convince the Chicago Public School Union to essentially cater to his demands, it just didn't work.
That's right. I mean, think about this. The other dailies that have basically, you know, run Chicago for generations, they came up through the projects and the wards and the neighborhoods, didn't they? I mean, they knew where all the taverns and the best pizza and they knew the kids' grandmothers, didn't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think Rahm Emanuel realized, and it's interesting because as we talk about the whole the labor perspective, there is such a class divide that has happened in this country. Perception of a class divide that's happened in this country. That it becomes very difficult for, I don't know, it's not just selected leaders. I think it's, you know, owners of large companies, small companies, and medium-sized companies to convince employees and blue-collar employees to realize that we're all in the same fight.
I don't think there's a class divide on Main Street, Jason. You can disagree or not, but
sure.
I do think that there's been an attempt to create a rift between classes, so to speak, to create these classes, but on Main Street, I don't see a class divide between owners and employees. What do you think?
Yeah, I think from the perspective of owners, and I've been fortunate enough to deal with a number of owners in my career. I think owners, for the most part. See the fact that even though they might own the organization, we can't do what we do as a business without the employees who are the true heart and soul of the organization. So in many respects, we're all in the same boat. I think that, I don't know if it's through the process of the media or what, but from the perspective of employees, there are so many employees who feel like the owners and people who have a title that they don't have no idea what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example of that. An organization that I did consulting for about 2 months ago, there was a gentleman who, through overtime, day laborer, through overtime, made about $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his manager, just based on salary, no bonuses.
Probably made half that.
Made $60,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yet this employee was complaining about how his manager has no idea what he goes through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy's driving a better car, and I'm talking about the employee. I guarantee you had a nicer house, nicer amenities, but in his mind, he was still less than his manager.
Hmm.
So,
there's a disconnect there. One thing that I think it's appropriate for, there is a debate on Main Street about whether how much an owner, a privately held company, the owner of a privately held company, should open up the books to employees. I'm right. not in favor of just laying the books open, but I am in favor of the owner talking to the employees and giving them, you know, a full explanation for what they're the benefits that they get from the company, not letting any of that be hid under a bushel, so to speak.
Right.
But also to talk to the employees about the time, if they think the owner is doing, you know, is getting rich off of them, to talk to them about the time when the owner put everything in and not knowing if they get anything back.
Exactly.
Or the time when, or all the times, which happens on a regular basis on Main Street, when there's not, there's enough cash for employees, but there's, for paycheck, but there's no cash for the owner's paycheck.
Right.
You know, I mean, those are the kinds of things that I think need to be made clear that you know, a small business, there's no mothership to turn to. There's no Wall Street to turn to. There's no, you know, big cache of resources to turn to. It stops with the owner.
Right. I would agree wholeheartedly. This is actually one of the things that I recommend to business owners. Is be as transparent as you possibly can without getting yourself in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, you know, it's a matter of psyche. We have a tendency, and I think this cuts across the board, we have a tendency at times to assume that someone might be doing something better than us,
mm-hmm.
or in some form or fashion, we see the orders, and I'm talking about the line-level employees,
mm-hmm.
see the orders that are coming in. They see in their mind, they think about the volumes of money that's being accumulated in the bank. And so they automatically think somebody's getting rich and it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to that line of transparency, just as you described, Jim, it really opens the dialogue. Plus the fact, and I saw this happen about 2 years ago in this company in California, where this gentleman started an electronics company up from nothing. He didn't have an inheritance. He basically took out a small business loan and built it from a little bit of nothing to a multi-million dollar enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And when his employees were really pushing the need to go union because they felt like he was rich and they weren't, I'll never forget him meeting with his employees and literally saying, I can't tell you one way or the other whether you should go union or you shouldn't, but I will tell you this. I worked my butt off to get to where I am, and I did it with you. And I don't know at what point you all felt like it was you versus me, but I'm here because I worked my butt off.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really, really touched the hearts of the employees.
What did they do?
Ultimately, they didn't go union.
Did not go union.
Right.
Good for them. A little face-to-face there made a big difference. Think about that, folks. Quick break. Right back with Jason Greer. We're going to talk some more about relations with our employees. 20 after. Stay with us. That I love.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.